people suffer. Silenced by fear. The wonderful thing that's happening on Edge is that that fear now appears to be broken. And it's time we said to landlords, no more of this kind of thing. We are once again going to become responsible for building rich human communities.
Is Egg a Victorian idyll or a Hebridean slum? Do islanders feel secure? Do they want more control? In short, what's the future? Today, human ecologists are speaking out. And a warm welcome. I'm Leslie Riddish, and this is Speaking Out, broadcasting today from the school on the island of Egg in the Inner Hebrides. And if that's left you none the wiser, it's no surprise. Apart from recent publicity, there's very little reason anyone would have heard of Egg. The island has around 80 residents, one shop, no hotel, no mains electricity, no vehicle ferry, a rather poor pier for the passenger ferry, no pub, and only two B&Bs. It's not developed, it's not accessible, it is very beautiful. On that, most inhabitants would agree with the man who's owned Egg for the last 19-odd years. To call Keith Schellenberg a colourful character would be an understatement. To describe him as mercurial could be dodgy because he's sitting in the corner. Suffice it to say, he does believe he's done his best to safeguard the island and its inhabitants. The snag is that most of them, perhaps now all of them, disagree. Things came to a head earlier this year when a vintage Rolls Royce belonging to Mr. Schellenberg was burnt and destroyed. He feels angry, not surprisingly, but islanders are also angry at news coverage that implied they are arsonists, wasters and vindictive louts. The question we're here to ask is how can things improve? Is it time for a new owner? Or is management, not ownership, the real issue? If you've a view on that here in the schoolroom, move a hand and we'll come your way fast. First though, let's hear from Alistair McIntosh, a member of the Isle of Egg Trust, which tried to buy the island from Mr. Schellenberg 2 years ago when it was put on the market. Alistair's speaking to Jimmy Black.
The concept of private land ownership, as we know it now in the Highlands of Scotland, can be traced back most clearly to the aftermath of the 1745 rebellion, Culloden in 1746, then the Acts of Prescription and the Heritable Jurisdictions Acts, which were intended to break the power of the traditional Highland chieftain system. And the effect that they had was to introduce the English system and Lowland Scots system of land enclosure, the idea that land could be privately enclosed, owned by an individual, not on behalf of the community, but for their own private profit. The value of land was related to its profitability rather than to how many people it could support. And in the case of Egg, this meant that it first got transferred into distinct private ownership through sale in 1828 when Dr. Hugh McPherson bought it for £15,000, and that heralded the start of what then became the clearances, with half the population of Egg, about 200 people, being forced off, the remaining 200 being pushed onto the infertile 500 acres of a 7,500-acre island.
In general, have the landlords been good for Egg or bad for Egg?
I think they've been appalling for Egg. They have largely broken the culture. They've led to a state of depopulation, of disempowerment, of disengagement of people and the land. In the situation now where there's only about 70 people living on Egg, albeit a very spirited and increasingly culturally aware group of people who are trying to take control of their place back into their own hands. But we've seen some appalling landlords on Egg. We've seen Commander Farnham Smith. It turned out he was not a Royal Naval Commander, as he liked people to think, but a commander in the fire service, who has been described by one of the current residents on Egg who remembers him as having been like living under enemy occupation, except he couldn't even shoot the bugger.
How powerful is a landlord? I mean, in this day and age, it's a democracy, you know, people are citizens of a free country. How powerful is the landlord of an island like Egg?
The landlords will tell you they've got very little power. They'll say that they are merely farmers, like any other farmer. In actual fact, they can have very considerable power in a number of ways. One is through neglect. They can do nothing. They cannot sign essential documents for the trusters or other tenants. They can fail to renew leases. They can be powerful in ways that involve direct intervention in people's lives. For example, most trees planted in crofts legally belong to the landlord. Only if they've been planted under the 1991 Crofter Forestry Act do they belong to the crofter. So even if you've planted trees in your croft, legally a landlord can remove them. And you get no compensation for that if that happens. So it's not exactly an incentive to go around planting trees. They can outright evict certain categories of tenant, not crofters, but other types of tenant. And of course, a landlord only needs to do this once or twice. And then they get a tremendous grip of fear over a community. The reality is that this grip of fear is very strong on many Highland estates and causes a lot of restriction of a community's sense of self-reliance, empowerment, and ability to be in charge of its own affairs as a responsible community ought to be.
You seem to be saying that the people on Egg lack the basic democratic rights that I expect to have, like freedom of speech, for example.
It's true that people have been silenced by fear. The wonderful thing that's happening on Egg is that that fear now appears to be broken, and people are speaking out very openly in very truthful and impassioned ways, and it's wonderful.
What does the Turf think is the best future for Egg?
I think it's got to be the place coming into community control. I don't necessarily mean full community ownership. It may be appropriate for the ownership to be held in a body like the Egg Trust or another competent body like the Scottish Wildlife Trust. But whatever is the case, there must be sufficient element of control. So issues like tenancies, issues like whether there can be a rubbish dump, issues like planning permissions and so on, are primarily considered by the community for themselves rather than by an outside intermediary who has imposed himself upon that community. I think that is no longer good enough in the late 20th century. It's time we said to landlords, no more of this kind of thing. We are once again going to become responsible for finding right relationship with our own place and building rich human communities such as we deserve and are capable of making.
Well, those are strong words, but can the Islanders and Mr. Schellenberg make it work in practice? Or have relations soured so much that dialogue and progress is impossible? We'll be trying to find out in the next hour, and can I say, having spoken to all sides, that though there has been a lot of acrimony and harsh words to date, the point of meeting here is to see if some clear vision of the future can be established that will protect people, wildlife and culture. So let's start off from the point, one of the points that Alistair was raising in a tape there, where he was saying that he thought that Islanders need more control of their lives in here in Egg. Now, does anyone want to kind of pick that up? Right, so in the absence of anyone, I'm afraid the official spokesperson who sat himself as far up the back as he possibly can, Colin Carr, will have to talk about this. Colin, you're the spokesperson for the Isle of Egg Residence Committee, which has just been set up. Now, what's the feeling amongst locals about the future?
Well, I think everybody is fairly unanimous in that they want to look forward to something a lot better than it has been in the past. And for instance, I think they probably feel if Mr. Schellenberg stated in the press that he was keen to sell up and get out, I think people are looking forward to a new beginning. Something like, I mean, the SWT have shown an interest and I think something like that, people are certainly, you know, they're really keen on that.
Right, well let's just sort of find out from some of the people who've just been talked about here what their feeling about all of this is. I mean, I suppose first of all there's a $64,000 question, Keith, which is, you are the owner here, so in a sense it hardly matters what people are saying because you own it. Now, is that going to remain the case, or do you intend to sell the island?
Do you want me to comment on some of the statements that you've made so far? Because we've heard, first of all, about depopulation. Well, since I became involved with the place, at least the population has almost doubled, and most of those people who've come here have come as a result of coming to work, perhaps in the summer, and have decided they want to stay on, and the majority of them have got with the aid of 90% grants, many of them have now got houses, and people like John Cormack have built a house, Simon Helliwell's built a house, and I wonder of all the people here today who actually is dependent in any way at all on me, who has in fact not got a freehold. There aren't too many people here at all. You've perhaps got, I don't know, 40 or 50 people here. Well, I don't know how many of them actually feel that I have got some sort of an obligation to them. I have actually, the population has doubled. A lot of people who are, in fact, have come in and are living in holiday houses, which otherwise would be earning them extra money. But
let's get an answer to that question. How many people feel that for some reason they're not secure about their tenure, about their homes here? Right. Well, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Right. Has anybody complained? 8, 9. Right. Has anybody complained?
Maybe a complaint's too strong a word, but when our lease was arranged, I did ask for it to be extended more than 3 years. It's a 3-year lease. I asked for it to be a wee bit longer, but that was refused. Now, recently on television, Mr. Schoenberg said the reason that was because he wasn't sure that we'd be staying. I presume it was ourselves we were talking about.
Mm.
Now, as far as I'm aware, that wasn't the situation, that we weren't sure that we were staying.
Here's a chap who wants to stay and doesn't know if he can.
Well,
is that the case?
I accept that's the case. What I would like him to do is, like everybody else, get a house built under the 90% grant scheme or whatever it is. So,
what's that laughter about? Somebody tell me, what's that laughter about? Don't, you know, come on.
You can't, everybody cannot just get houses built under 90% grant scheme. This scheme isn't available on all the houses. It's only available on a certain number that were allocated when they set up the housing action area about 5 years ago.
Well, fine. I mean, it is really up to the local authorities to start thinking about doing this sort of thing, as they are now going to do. But if you want all the holiday houses that can provide two or three people a living, if you want them all to be taken up by residents, then you must say so. But it does mean that whereas perhaps Mark's paying £20 a week, is that about right? I don't know, perhaps not as much, it's £15 a week. But you see, that same house, if it was let out, would fetch £200 a week. So that, you know, this would provide employment for a lot more people. What else are you going to do? Just have people here without any holiday business or what?
Okay, that's a question. What's the future for this place, for Egg, in terms of employment, jobs, other things that you could be doing? Now, there's a direct question asked back there. There's a couple of holiday houses that could bring in some money. What do you think?
Well, having worked for Mr. Schellenberg in his tourism industry, I can say that he will only offer a season of work with him, and that his policy has been to employ people from the outside who would only last for a season and who would be paid at very little salary, so they would not be interested in staying for longer than a season. And instead of building up the tourist industry with people that are living on the island, he has consistently refused to employ the talent that was here and has consistently sought to import people from the outside that had nothing to do with the island and generally didn't do a very good job. And it's a shame that he hasn't changed his mind a little bit earlier, because there was a lot of people here that could have made a go of this tourist business, as he likes to call it. It is now falling apart because of lack of maintenance.
Right, can I just speak to somebody who I know is in the tourist business, because most of us are staying with you at the moment. Marie, you're somebody who at the moment also, because Colin is putting his hand up the back saying you don't actually have complete security of tenure, how easy is it to plan and operate a B&B under those situations, under those circumstances?
Well, it's really difficult just now because, well, for next year, I don't know whether we'll be there. For this year, I've just taken bookings, thinking that, well, I'm not going to move from here before the end of the season.
I mean, the house that you're in is, to me, you know, it's a lovely place. It feels very, very comfortable and all the rest of it. But are there things that you would like to improve about it if you were to be making a business out of a B&B?
Yeah, there's lots of improvements needing done on the house.
And, I mean, can you do them? You're tenants.
Well, no, I wouldn't, because we don't have any security. So I'm not going to spend thousands of pounds on a house that I might not be there, you know, that I might not be living in next year. I haven't really done an awful lot of advertising in the past couple of years because I've lost heart in the whole thing, just because of our situation. So I'm relying mainly on people that have been here before, you know, and come back year after year. So that's the problem about tourism. If you don't know, you know, kind of what the future is, you're hardly going to push the boat out. That's right. You're not going to spend hundreds of pounds advertising for someone else to come in and get business from your advertising. Right. I just sort of talked about pushing the boat in. I'm sure sometimes some of you feel like doing that because the boat service can be a bit sort of unreliable because the slipway isn't brilliant. Is that a problem?
Well, I don't know. From my point of view, trying to run the farm as it is, you know, it would make a tremendous difference to have a daily service that came into the pier, and you could possibly get stock off in it every day or vehicles.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is something that has to be addressed, and in the near future, it is going to be.
Right.
I must say, we did try for several years to have precisely that service. With, admittedly, not a very sophisticated boat, but a boat, and it was the only time that we'd had a daily boat that would take both passengers and freight. We tried to run it for about 4 years, and I've always felt that was the most...
Vehicle.
The thing... Well, it could actually take vehicles. It did take vehicles. I mean,
it's
a difficulty. That's the Banmora. It is the single most important thing for the community... is to have a daily boat service throughout the year carrying passengers and freight.
So what have you been able to do as landlord for 19 years about getting nearer to that?
Well, I've campaigned for 19 years to try and get precisely that. And I've got a file full of letters to people like Dr. Foxley and to Caledonian McBrain, and we've had meetings and meetings. And at the moment, we really don't get much further on because it's still much rather have one of the big CalMac boats coming into gigantic expensive piers. I hope this position is going to change now, but that is something that is essential.
Right, okay, well, look, let's talk to Michael Foxley sitting around here. People pay their council tax. Are they getting the facilities back for it that they deserve?
No, they're not at the moment, and it may seem a wee bit lame, but there is a vast amount of work going in, particularly to solve the problem of the vessels and the landing facilities. As you've heard, the present slipway is grossly inadequate, and there was an original survey going on looking at ways to improve the landing services here and also on the Isle of Muck, where people still wait ashore at low tide, and on Rum, where again there's an inadequate landing slipway. Halfway through that process, there was a change in EC regulations. At the moment, there's a flip boat from the CalMac ferry. So there's been even more exhaustive studies as to the best method to provide landing facilities for the island, such as Egg. Those studies are almost complete. It'll almost certainly be a 1-in-8 slipway based upon the location of the present slipway. And it'll either be a purpose-built CalMac boat, or it'll be a fast catamaran with a backup freight boat. And it has been a long saga, but unfortunately, to spend something, the cost at the end of it between the boat and the slipway will be in the order of 10, 15 million pounds, maybe up to as far as 20. And to spend those sums of money, you have to make sure that you're putting in an infrastructure system and a service that's going to do 50, 60 years.
Right, okay. Let me just sort of try and get a more general feeling of what's going on, because you have actually formed a residents' committee and you've got a sort of feeling about what you want to happen to the future of this island. Now, I'm trying to coax this out of you. Can somebody just tell me what it is that you've come to the conclusion about?
Well, we formed this committee because of the recent press reports that we've had, and in the belief that Mr. Schellenberg might be selling the island. And we've also had various discussions about how we see the future going. And I think one of the basic things that we've decided upon is that we as a community would like to certainly be involved in any decisions that are made in the future about what happens to the island, which I think we really haven't ever been asked before, what we would like to see happen here.
So is it simply a question of you feel that you want to be involved, or do you think you've got a different agenda perhaps, in Keith Schellenberg?
I certainly think we're all now thinking along the lines that we're looking for a different agenda. I think we've all decided that things just can't carry on the way that they have done for the last 19 years. And obviously we're going to need a lot of help. We're looking to lots of different organisations, to Dr. Fox as our counsellor. But I think we'd like to see ourselves given some responsibility for what happens here.
I mean, do you effectively want to take over control of the island?
If that's a possibility, I think everybody would like to be given the chance to try and do that.
No.
Who said no? Right, okay. Everybody bar you. What's your name, sir?
McKinnon, Donald McKinnon. No, I don't believe that people should manage the island. They're neither responsible enough nor competent enough to do it themselves. They would have to do it from outside.
You're saying themselves, you're including yourself in this.
Including myself, yes.
So is this a feeling about your abilities or about other people's abilities or what?
Everybody's abilities in here, and I'm not alone in thinking that, but other people don't see it.
Okay, how would you rate the present sort of management? Do you think that actually the island is working well at the moment?
No, it's a disaster. It would have to be run by a competent organisation, maybe like the Highland Region or something, but as far as I understand it, the Wildlife Trust are only going to provide the money for buying the place, and then they're going to leave it to the tender mercy of the population, local population.
You don't have a lot of confidence in your neighbours?
None whatsoever.
Right, you're entitled to your view. You're entitled to your view. Now let's sort of talk to one of the other players in this. David Hughes Hallett. Now you're from the Scottish Wildlife Trust. You've had an involvement in this island for years because you've employed people on the island. Now, what's your position about this? Have you any particular interest in gaining more control, more influence, more decision making in the island or what?
Well, we've been involved here for the past 16 years, and we've had somebody working for us here for about the past 10. Really, our position starts from the point at which, if Keith Schellenberg is to sell the island, we'd like to take some kind of leading role and perhaps provide some kind of long-term stability. We certainly wouldn't want to be in the position of traditional landlords, and if we were to take such a role, we would want to have a strong influence, but we would also have to devolve the management in some fairly considerable way, probably to people who live on the island. How that would be done, we would need to work out. But that's our position now. But it all stems from whether the island is in fact to be sold or not.
Right. Well, look, let me just come back and then ask the question I asked you at the start, Keith. I mean, can you just tell us, will you be thinking of putting the island up for sale?
Well, I would like, as I've said before, to sell a lot of parts, a lot of properties, certainly in my own house and so on. I think that it is quite difficult for somebody like me to have to take responsibility for what should be the Highland Region's job. And I think certainly we should get a lot more people involved, a lot more outside private capital. I'm certainly not in favour of it becoming another great burden of the state. I think that is a great pity if that's to happen.
Okay, so just to get this clear, you want to sell, but you want to sell bits of it. I mean, do you want to sell all of it in bits?
Well, a lot of it anyway. A lot of it. I think it would make a lot of sense. I mean, the more people we have in here, the better.
Wouldn't it? You've said yourself, you know, you find difficulties managing it for 19 years as one person, as one estate. Isn't it going to be infinitely more difficult if there's loads of different owners all over the place to try and get one thing done?
But there are lots of owners of freehold properties here anyway. All I'm trying to say is let's have more of them. And I would like to make one point, because, you know, I have tried actually quite hard to do this. And I have certainly tried very hard with Mr. and Mrs. Carr, who are apparently the principal complainers about this business. Now, nobody has had a better offer than I have in offering Colin Carr the agricultural tenancy on 2,000 acres of egg and providing him with half the sheep, 1,000 ewes. They already have the most important, their mother-in-law, Marie's mother, the most important and historic house on the island, Lag, which is B-listed and was the principal house. Now, they have had complete security on this house, and they should have seen that it was kept as the principal guest house. As it is at the moment, they have 100%, they have all the guest houses, that family on the island, and they want to farm it all. I am trying to split it up, so I'm trying to split it up.
The whole thing about this radio programme is that we are looking ahead. The flyers that the guy sent out said, what's the way ahead for Ed? We don't want to look back, we want to look forward. We just want decisions. What do you want to do?
Well, I've made the point what I want. I want to try and get, if possible, as many farms as we can get going, as many guest houses, as many people owning different cottages.
Let's have, if necessary, a developer, what you have stated in the press.
Can I just say, right, can you sort of speak one at a time, because no one at home will be able to listen to this. David, you haven't spoken so far. No, at the back.
I'd like to make the point. For the first of all, Keith uses the term we, because certainly he doesn't live here. I find he shouldn't be using that in the first place. But the whole problem in Egg for a lot of people is a lack of security, which this man doesn't give, which is the main basic factor. But I think most people, whether they're divided in their opinion about what should happen, I think most people want him out. I think most people want him to give up, and hopefully the community can take over it.
Well, does he have security? Do I have anything to do with him?
Well, thankfully enough, I do have security now, but it did cost me a couple of £1,000 to get a family assignation put over in Macross, because two people that apparently on the island are fighting amongst themselves about who gets this and who gets that. I have to deal with two sets of lawyers. Now, that wouldn't happen if they had a decent body or a decent representative in here that we could deal with efficiently, we could deal with nicely, and generally, just I think it could be managed far better with somebody like him out.
Can I ask you? Does anyone here have a problem with the fact that one of whose members is kind of indigenous and has lived here for a very long time, and so that's why their relatives are all over the place? Has a number of guest houses. Is this a problem for anybody here?
No, it's a situation that everyone would like to see continue.
What matters are the people on the island. Those that were born and brought up here, and those that have come to the island. They're the future of the island. And if they can't, after 18 years of loyal work for the owner, if they can't say that they have security on their home, it just proves the point that there is not security of tenure for people here. Right, okay, well, Keith, what do you say then if everyone here says they don't perceive any problem about this?
Mrs. Helliwell has her own house. She's got all her security and everything else.
She's
an extremely competent builder. I'm trying to find out, apart from Mr. and Mrs. Carr, who is actually complaining. It is a fact that their family have one-third of the population. The family are one-third of the population, which puts them in a very strong
position. Isn't that because they are locals? I mean, they have family, which is, as you know, Keith, one of the terrible tragedies of many areas in the Western Islands is that lots of the indigenous folk have been totally cleared out. Shouldn't we be really quite pleased that there is a thriving family here?
But I've been, forgive me, responsible for that, because the population has now doubled. The population has doubled. And Mrs. Helliwell and Simon came here to come and work specifically, to work as a boatman, build up his joinery business and start it going. So did all these people here. Camille, okay, only came for a season. I don't know how long one employer, really. But, I mean, she hasn't wanted to work in the tourist season for very long. John Cormack the same. These people have come. Now, I want to see more people. They're saying, look, we're here, we're very comfortable, we don't want anybody else in.
How do you get on? Wait a second, please. Do you have electricity, mains electricity, where you live most of the time in Banffshire?
Well, look, I don't have it here. And when we say I'm an absentee...
Where you live most of the time?
I, until the court case, I spent about half my time here. My stepchildren went to school here.
But let's get back to the point. You've got a point of view, right? You're entitled to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are 80 people that live here, and it seems that they're getting fairly unanimous that they've got a point of view. Now, does it matter if it differs from yours? I mean,
of course it doesn't. I'm delighted. The more people that are different, the better.
But can they influence you? If they all say, we're not happy with the way things are going, we're not happy with your management fundamentally, does that matter to you?
I don't seek to manage or be responsible for them. I mean, in what way should I?
I simply don't.
Why did you buy the island?
Why?
Can I ask you, Keith? Why did you buy the island?
Well, it was a very special wildlife conservation place, and I wanted to see if one could expand the population, bring more work, more jobs, without it being a terrible burden on the taxpayer.
Well, are you interested at all in what's being said here by David with the Scottish Wildlife Trust? You were talking about selling it in parts.
But I invited the Scottish Wildlife Trust to come to the island. If I hadn't asked them, and I don't really think that they would find anybody that had a better relationship. Indeed, the warden lives rent-free in one of the holiday houses.
Are you interested in what they're saying now? What they're saying now, not half a year ago, a month ago, a year ago, is now, in front of me, David has said, we are interested in taking this place over, potentially, if you're interested in selling it.
I don't know whether he could do anything better than he's doing at the moment. I mean, what sort of, he's at least saving public money. He can get on with all the research and everything else he does. Why does he need anything different?
Well, David...
Well, I think the point is that, I mean, why we could be interested in taking a role in the future is to produce some sort of stability and to give us a long-term future in the island as well. I have no complaint whatsoever. Scottish Wildlife Trust has no complaint whatsoever about our relationship with Keith over the past 16 years that we've been here at all. But if we start from the point when the island may be sold, I mean, I detect a very strong feeling in the room that one of the great problems is lack of security, both in the specific sense and in the general sense, because ownership changes and the customs change and the management changes and so on. An organization like ours could provide, if you like, the umbrella for a greater security in that sense. I'm not pretending it to be at all easy, and we would have to do it if we did with a lot of help from a lot of other people. But, I think there is a role we could play. But I'm really starting from the point, if it is to be sold, then we start from there.
Right, okay. Can I say this? There's somebody here who's already been in a kind of way through a lot of this discussion. It may sound a bit like deja vu. Alan McRae, you're one of the members of the Ascent Crofters Trust, who bought your land out about, is it 2 years ago?
Yes, indeed.
I've just had your second anniversary, Kayleigh. Now, you've been here just today. This is your first time in Egg. What do you think of what you've seen?
Well, I'm very impressed with the island. But clearly the island has a much greater potential than it's showing at the moment. And I think that there needs to be changes.
You've a potential on which fronts? Agricultural?
Oh, well, agricultural. I think there are a lot more opportunities here than being used at present. I think the people should have a lot better future here than they seem to have at the moment. Simple as that.
And what do you feel, I mean, because, you know, it took some doing for people to decide in Ascent that they were actually going to make a go of trying to take over control. Now, the gentleman here has said very honestly that he's not very keen on the way things are at the moment, but he has no particular greater confidence in the future. Was confidence a problem when you took over your own land?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, as you've seen the proprietor here, he doesn't seem to feel responsible for the people. And I think that's what you find with some proprietors in the Highlands. They have no conscience or commitment to the people who live on their land. And clearly that's the case here in Egg. He has no conscience or commitment as far as the people here are concerned. And I think that the people here have got to take the initiative themselves and maybe take the kind of steps that we took in Ascent, that the future could lie in their hands, and maybe now is the time to grasp it. This is something that our European counterparts have taken for granted long since. You know, I mean, and here we are in Europe and being told to think like Europeans, and yet we're still living under a feudal system in large parts of the islands. And clearly there's got to be change, and I think the Crofters in Ascent have shown that you can make change, you know, that things haven't got to stand still, that people can shape the future if they have the will to do it.
Right, you see, if anybody wants to come in, there's a gentleman at the back that's now shaking his head, but come on, you did want to speak earlier, so see if you could remember what you wanted to talk about.
I would suspect Keith would probably want to split it up, therefore he could sell it to his friends and his hangers-on he usually comes over with, and then he'd still keep a wee bit of a foot in here if he could do it that way. That's what I would suspect he's up to.
And that,
right, okay, that's a suspicion.
I would like Keystone, you know, just to sell the island completely, not in parts.
Okay.
Just to get off the island and let us carry on and let's see what we can do from there.
Do most people feel here that if Keith is selling the island, they would like, you would like it to be sold as a oneer?
Yeah.
Does anybody here feel other than that? Does anybody feel that they can see Keith's point and they would like different ownership and other people coming in? Does anyone feel that they agree with that?
Could we actually ask Keith why he wants to sell it in bits?
Right.
Because I think it's a lot more healthy, frankly. I think it's a lot... You've all come in, the people talking, and have bought bits of it and have built houses. Why should you deny the other people the chance to do the same thing? I'm very interested, actually, just to comment on the chairman of the Aston Crofters, as to how he would propose dealing with the farming, the arable land. How would he like to do it? Would he like to make it into small farms, or what would he do with it?
Alan?
Oh, well, I would encourage crofting, yes. I would encourage maybe making more holdings to bring more young people onto the island. A lot healthier for the communities.
But he would agree with me. But just a minute, Keith, do you know anything about Athens?
I don't know very much.
Right, okay. Well, look, the point is, people do own individual crofts, mm-hmm. but the entire estate is owned and held in trust by a trust which is composed of all the people. So they have got some control in the sense that they know what's going to happen. They have overall planning abilities, but each of them has got ownership of particular parts. Now, it's just people are just saying, they all live here all the year round, they would quite like the ability to buy it from you and manage it. And you'll still own a wee bit here and a wee bit there separately. I mean, it's not a big problem to see that these things are compatible all over the country.
Well, are you going to let it go in for the free market then, or imagine that just the people who stay here... Who, there's not very much crofting goes on here anyway. I don't know whether the chairman of the Athens Crofters thinks very much of what is happening in the crofting township, but frankly, it's very little. And if you're going to let these people have yet more land, where is the improvement?
But, I mean, you say these people, but they are the people who live here. Does that count for anything?
Well, of course it does. I mean, I've always made the point, particularly the original inhabitants. What I'm really arguing about are those who have actually come here in recent years, who now seem to regard themselves, want to prevent anybody else coming here. Well, do you want it open, then, that the properties and other things are allowed, are put on the market, and if people want to come in and buy them, they can do so.
But can I, before that's answered, could I just put back to you, we just asked there, does anybody want the proposal that you're coming up with, Keith, and not a single person said a thing?
Can I ask if people want
the whole thing sold as a oneer? And everyone said yes.
Well,
now, does that mean nothing to you?
Well, it means that they're very selfish.
But, Keith, I think we're not actually getting to the root of the matter here. The root of the matter is, if you sell it off as individual properties, what is going to be the future of the community? And most people see that if you sell it off as individual properties, those properties will become holiday homes. If not by the people that buy them in the first instance, and maybe attempt to start businesses here, we've run a business here. It is incredibly difficult to make it successful. So say the people you sell it to come and start a business. That business fails, they put the house back on the market, it becomes a holiday house. And that is of no benefit to the community at all. And that's the biggest fear of selling it off in pieces.
This debate, because I mean, it seems to be a lot about how you manage, you know, whether or not lots of people, only individual bits, is the best way forward.
Well, there's several things going on. To be able to control the resources and control the management, you have to control the land. That's a fundamental view of mine for the Highlands. In fairness to Keith Schellenberg, and this may not go down particularly well, but I've been the regional council for 8 years for West Lough Arbour, which stretches from the Sound of Mull up to Knoydart. And the spectrum of land ownership is there, from clan landlords to sort of offshore companies. And within that spectrum, Keith Schellenberg is somewhere, believe it or not, around about the middle. But there are landlords that you could not get in the room, you could not identify them, they would not reply to your letters, and the answer would be no. And the difficulty with selling the land, or the island in its entirety, is that you're left in the lottery of land ownership as to whether you get a sort of benign paternalistic one with funding to put in who will live on the island to an offshore company or asset strip or just really want to use it for their own private devices. If it is to be offered for sale, and I understood in coming here tonight it was going to be offered for sale, because inevitably very, very large sums of public money are available to private investors to put into an island such as this, and because very large sums of money will be going in from the local authority, we should at least very seriously look to see if we can form a structure along with organisations such as the Scottish Wildlife Trust, because they've got a major presence here, and coordinated with the regional council. We should see if we can coordinate the energy and funding that's available, which is basically what ASINT did, but there are great difficulties with either selling it on its own on the open market, and there are great difficulties, even probably even greater, at splitting it.
Would you support what people say they would like to do, which is that they would like to move towards community control of some sort?
Yes, but that requires a lot of discussion, a lot of thought, because you really have to work at organising a management plan for the island. You have to work out how to access the sort of grants that are available to any community organisation or individual in the Highlands.
Right, okay. Anybody else got a view on this?
Well, as an incomer, one of the things I was attracted when I came first to Egg was the feeling of the Hebridean community, which, with traditions and with an interesting music life and a very strong tradition of dancing and enjoying themselves, which I thought was really good. And what I'm worried about, if this island is sold bits by bits, is that these traditions are going to be completely diluted. And I can see a future in community ownership in the way that we could promote Egg as cultural tourism, not only for the wildlife, but also for a place where people can come and dance and enjoy music, a tradition that has never actually stopped for hundreds and hundreds of years, you know.
Right.
And
okay.
The children here are learning how to play music, and it will be nice to feel that it will carry on forever and ever.
Right.
And not
what
stop.
What problems are at the moment in trying to organise, you know, sort of something to do along those lines, like a cultural sort of aspects of things? Yep.
Right. Basically, lack of a facility like a hall.
There is a hall.
Yeah, but it becomes quite a debate, because I think some people see it would be better to have bracken cutters in it in the summer than Kayleys for the local population or whatever else might be involved in using the hall.
So you don't feel you're not in control of the community hall?
Oh, no means at all, not at all.
So you can't book it?
It can be taken off you any time. It's somebody's firm.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I know this has been a vexed issue as well, but Keith, what about this? I mean, is it not a community hall?
It's actually a recreational hall in the garden. I mean, it doesn't. I'm very happy to. We've let everybody have it for 90 years as they wanted, and we've paid the rates, and nobody's actually done any maintenance or anything else with it.
If it's not a community hall, then it's your responsibility to upkeep
it. It is. It's one of the things that one of the several things one does. But you know, people please themselves whether I have anything to say or not when they use it. I was concerned after the fire that it should be used in the evenings. I must say, because I was worried about my property. But on the whole, I think that this is the job of the Highland Region. We've had a hall fund which has had several thousand pounds, to which I have contributed, I may say, for some years now. And why the heck don't we get on with it? It's not actually a very big job to do. I don't think anybody can say that I've banned anybody using it. I'd like them to get on in the general interest of the community and have another hall. I mean, it's falling to bits, is that one. Nothing's done to it. How long do we have to keep on with it?
Right. Is there land available for a new hall?
Before we actually move on to the subject of the new hall, I was just going to say, can we now say that we can use the hall in the future? I mean, it's quite important to us that we hold community events in that hall. And although we'd all like to build a new hall as soon as possible, but until we get that built, we do need somewhere that we can hold various events, even for fundraising, to build a new hall.
Yeah, well, I think this is a sort of slight red herring, this all. I mean, it
but
is the main
thing. Well, it would be quite nice.
Okay,
it's quite important
okay,
to all of the
it's been used for 19 years. If people will take a responsible interest in it, they can carry on.
Okay, have there been problems with it?
Well, we have asked, actually, for a lease on the hall a long time ago because we were wanting to put our own generator in there and do something to the hall. And you actually refused that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. It's in the garden of the house. I mean, that's probably going to be a hotel. What good as knows what? You want the thing halfway
but
in the middle of the island.
But the thing is,
it's not my job to spend £100,000 on building a hall. It's Dr. Fox's job. I'm sure if we got down to it, we could get the materials and build the thing if there was the right spirit in the place.
But you just said, Keith, you don't want a generator humming away beside your house.
Well, I have one anyway.
Well, then what's the problem?
I don't want to have... That is not a suitable site for a hall. In the future, it should be in the middle of the island.
But we're all living in the here and now. You know, these folks
well,
are going to have
now.
To go and find somewhere to have a Kayleigh in
well,
now.
Okay, if they take responsibility, they can carry on doing it. They had it on New Year's Eve. They just carry on and use it as they feel like.
I don't see. I'm not sure whether this is a community hall or it's not,
it's
or it's the region.
It's my private garden hall, which, as with many things I've got, everybody uses. And on the whole, I don't mind it. But when I have a very serious situation like Oliver, I feel different about it, which is understandable.
Okay, so if that's the case, and this is your, you know, it's a private hall, and it's just basically your goodwill that's let anyone use it in the first place. If that's the case. Can you build another hall?
Well, we're trying to work towards building a new hall, but for a community this small to raise funds is extremely difficult. Also, Mr. Schellenberg has offered us a site, offered to lease a site. To the Highland Regional Council, the community would actually like to have the site leased to them, and also there is, originally Mr. Schellenberg offered us the lease on the site for a 99-year lease. The council said it would have to be a 99-year lease with an option to renew, and the last thing we heard from Mr. Schellenberg was that it was no longer a 99-year lease that he was offering. I think it was 25 we've talked about. You cannot build a community hall on a 25-year lease on the land. Mm-hmm. You know, and with the region in control, if we're to build a community hall, we've got to have a clear long-term future for it, because it's going to take a lot of effort and an awful lot of money.
Right. Well, Michael, I mean, I sense just from listening to people here that the goalposts keep shifting in this conversation as to who is in control of what, who's supposed to manage what, who owns what even.
He will sell an area of land which is still to be finally decided. There's two or three options in this general area. He'll sell land to the regional council, who will be able to sublease it to the normal sort of community group or village hall association. Now that's done everywhere else in the Highlands, including the wee village that I live in. That's done when you upgrade a hall or build a new one. You get funding from the Scottish Education Department, from the regional council, from the local enterprise company, and a wee bit of local fundraising. I'm fairly confident that we'll be seeing the sort of work on the hall start this year, along with some of the other schemes that have been discussed for quite a number of years, like the need for housing for local people and a daycare centre and a refuse site.
Right, we're beginning to come to the end of the time here, and I'd just like to ask, I mean, you're the councillor for this area. If it's the feeling of everybody on the island that, you know, can be got hold of or whatever, that they would like to move for community control, are you responsible for trying to see that happens or not?
Well, the quick answer is yes, I will try that. We tried when the island was for sale 2 years ago, we tried, so that was almost a dry run. I think the way it would work this time is to try and form a coordinated bid along with a body such as the Scottish Wildlife Trust. I would have to say I would think it would only be of real interest if it was for the entire island, because then you can manage the entire resource of the island. Otherwise, you're trying to put a bid together for a future management plan for the island based upon part of the resources and part of the control. And as I said earlier, I think it's extremely difficult in a sort of enclosed entity such as this to try and deal community if you're dealing with several land ownerships.
Right, okay, so that's what you're thinking. Just before we come back to Keith, David, again, from the point of view of the Wildlife Trust, would you be interested in an island called Egg that was being sold in bits?
No, I think having had the conversation, I think it's quite clear that there needs to be some cohesion of management on the place, if that's at all possible. I agree with a lot of what Michael Foxley says. Having listened to the conversation, as it were, one thing I pick out of this very strongly is there is a need for some long-term stability, consistency of management over a long period, and also for some method by which people who live here and who work here can have a say in their future. I think that's come out extremely clear tonight.
Right, okay, so the two, as it were, sort of authority bods here, if you'll be reduced to that, think that it's important to have some kind of like a one island control. Do people feel it's going to take a lot more input? You know, if you're saying you've had very little input in the past, you're going to actually have to do more in terms of day-to-day management than you've probably done in the past. Do you think that you've got the energy that it would take to run this island?
Yeah, absolutely, I think we have. I think people would make the effort if the carrot in front of them was that you could go where you wanted to go and that future generations could do what they wanted to do, then I think that carrot would be enough to make everyone make a real effort.
I think that's right. I think if we were given the chance, I mean, in the past, we've never had a chance to prove we were responsible people. We've never had the chance to do it. And I think everybody's, at the minute, are willing to give it a try anyway. I mean, it's going to take a lot of hard work, but I think we're willing to give it a try.
Right, okay, anybody at the back want to talk about that? You're willing to put the work in?
Oh, yes, I think the plus point of even a community being involved in any way would be, at least for one, we could give people security they need that they're not getting just now, which is the most important thing. I think that's the most important thing of all.
Keith, I mean, everybody seems to be saying the same thing. We don't particularly like your idea of partitioning everything up.
Perhaps not. Well, why don't actually Dr. Foxley and Mr. Hughes Hallett buy the whole of the North West Highlands? I'm not quite sure what communities on the mainland or anything else, how very different they are, or indeed all the other islands. I mean, there is rum and canna at the moment, which are publicly owned, to all intents and purposes. Does anybody here want to go and live on either of those islands?
That may be true, but we're talking about eggs.
You're making the point, but I don't believe we're talking about what everybody in this room wants. Whether the ratepayers and the taxpayers in the rest of Britain want to sort of be part of what is the start of a great campaign to take, you know, the North West Highlands into community ownership. What that really means, I don't know. Does it mean that they're all shareholders, just the residents here? Is that what it means when you talk about, do you know what it means, community ownership?
Now, the point here is that 80 people who live on this island say they would like to control it, that you are not giving them the chance to manage it. Now, it doesn't matter what they say in Rum Muck Car or anywhere else. What about here and what about now?
But what about the farm on the other side? What about Erisage Estate? Why don't you let them take over that if they want to take over this?
Because there have not been a residents' association of Erisage people formed who are coming to their landowner and to other people and saying we would like more say.
But if there was, would Dr. Foxley produce all the money to buy it for them?
Why do we have to deal in hypotheticals?
Because, frankly,
real situation.
It is absurd, and most of the people here, because they don't actually have anything to do with the outside world, and many of them haven't even worked there, you know, they're beyond reality, really.
Right.
They may laugh, but you know, the rest of us have to work in the real world. And many of us have had a lot of different situations.
It's actually quite interesting how Mr. Sherman has changed the goalpost, because something like 10 years ago, I've heard all the time that this is the real world. When Mr. Sherman comes out here and he has to row in from his boat, this was always the real world. It seems awful funny now that all of a sudden this is not the real world, and the mainland is the real world.
Is there anything
it has changed here? Very much since it came up for sale and the Isle of Egg Trust got involved with it. There has been a sea change in the place, because the people here feel that the taxpayer is going to produce the money to give them the island.
Nobody's talking about
that. But most taxpayers, for example, I expect my refuse will go somewhere. I expect to be able to get to my house. I expect to have roads at work. I expect a lot of things. I expect mains electricity.
You're not getting it now. And if you start to buy the place as well, you'll have even less chance to get those things, because there won't be the money to go round.
Can you not see that? That either you have electricity and all these things that the Highland region should be providing at the moment, or else you go and get a lot more of the public purse money to actually just buy the land for the existing residents.
Right, we've got two different worlds across this small room, and it's a damn shame. Now, is there anything constructive that can be said at the end of this?
I would say, Keith, we're going with another one.
No,
in the mainland.
Keith, is there anything constructive that you can say? Can you not see that people seem to want a change? What do you think, they're bampots or not?
No, I accept it. I accept that they want it. But, there's little I can do about it. I don't believe in the state owning things, and I don't see why other people can't come in and share, if you like, share the private sector burden. And put something, their own initiative and effort and money, rather than the taxpayer just producing it here.
Okay, would you consider something that came from the community, an agency, something that's backed by the council, would you even consider it?
I would hope not to. I would be pretty weak and wet if I did consider it.
It's just, what's totally apparent in all this is you're just totally disregarding what everybody's been saying all night long. You're just totally disregarding the wishes of the people who live here.
Well, perhaps in the broader issue. I don't know that I'm disregarding it. I'm nevertheless simply stating what I believe in.
The thing is, we work in a capitalist system, and it's ultimately up to Keith Schellenberg's owner. He'll either sell it in lots or sell it as a whole. Now, my view is that it's being sold as a whole. It's not a question that you either use revenue funding to put in the services and the infrastructure, as opposed to buying it. Capitalist system, and it's ultimately up to Keith Schellenberg's owner. He'll either sell it in lots or sell it as a whole. Now, my view is that it's being sold as a whole. It's not a question that you either use revenue funding to put in the services and the infrastructure, as opposed to buying it. You're able to do both, because at the moment, Keith Schellenberg's right. We do have responsibility to the local authorities and other agencies to improve the infrastructure here, and we're about to very substantially do so this year. But on top of that, there are ways, if you're buying land as a private individual, to access large sums of public money. And I think what I would like to see taking place, and it's already taking place, it's taking place at Assint. I'm involved in a smaller one involving Woodlands close to myself. But it's possible to access this public funding, and it should be accessed by a community group in conjunction with private individuals, in conjunction with other agencies, but as a sort of cooperative whole.
Okay, that's interesting, but the man behind you, who is the man who will have the say in it, has just said he hopes he will not have to consider such a bid.
Yes, but I think if the island is to be sold, it is then a question of sitting down with the landowner and coming forward with a package and saying, this is the sum of money on offer and this is the deal. And now I happen to know, because Keith Schellenberg is certainly cooperating with the sale of the land for the housing, the hall and the refuse site. And it will be, I would hope, that he has in the past expressed his fondness for Egg and his fondness for the wildlife interests here, that at the end of the day, if there's a decent package put in front of him, which is reasonable for the future, that he will agree with that.
Right, there would seem to be something of a difference of opinion here between Mr. Schellenberg, who owns this island, and the people who live on it. I wonder, people who are listening to this, what do you think? Should the island be sold in parts? Would that be best? Or is it essential that the island is sold in a one-er? You can call us for the next 15 minutes and tell us what you think about this. The number is 041-338-6161. That's 041-338-6161. But for me, Leslie Riddish, here in Egg, thanks to you all for speaking out.
The production team was Carolyn Jackson, Lindsay Cadder, and Karen Ferguson. We'd like to offer you a new home. How about swapping yours for a high-rise...